Hopefully you had study guides yesterday, brought them along, because we had only a few left from yesterday. So sometimes we make too many and not enough people show up, so we've made it now 30 photocopies. So if you have one and you come the first night, kindly bring it the second night also. That way you have a program guide. These are activities. We're going to actually try dipping into some of the exercises in here too. So when you go home, you might feel inspired to try a few on your own. We take a lot of time to put these together, so I hope you can see how it benefits you. All right? So the first point that we made yesterday, as we looked at the title, was that this particular chapter, and I held up this book, is essentially about this question which we all face: who am I, right? And we at least have theoretical understanding that we're not the body. If you've been in Krishna consciousness at all, that's the first thing you hear. But it's told repeatedly, because it's hearing is one level, but realizing is another. So devotees after 40 years are even saying, well, I still somehow connect psychophysiologically with this body. What's wrong? So it's not an easy thing, that what we call quantum leap to the brahminical, to the state of Brahman realization. This chapter is very important in that regard, and we had mentioned that Prabhupada made over 30 lectures on this chapter. 30. And other chapters, which we also think are very, very essential, maybe one lecture or none. So the reason there were so many is that we are in the conditioned state, and we do need to understand the process by which we can extricate ourselves from the material concept of life. Because it is that material conception that is actually the problem. Being marginal, we are subjected to being put into the inferior material energy because of a desire to be Purush. Right? Yesterday we spoke about the male-female concept. There's one male, that's Krishna. Everybody else is Prakriti, female. Doesn't matter whether the body is male or female, bumblebee or Brahma. Everybody is Prakriti by nature, by constitution. But by mentality, if the mentality becomes perverted, then the Prakriti tries to be Purusha. And it needs a Prakriti to exploit. That's explained in verse 7.13 of Bhagavad Gita. The inferior, the superior energy enters the material energy trying to exploit it. And it can happen on a gross level, you see it all around, or on a subtle level, exploiting people psychologically. So it's the nature of anyone that has a body, you have to understand, that's the basic conditioning that they've come here. And only one who's taking to devotional service can become freed of that very unpleasant mentality, right? And to the degree to which that devotee is advancing is the degree to which he is freed of that, I'm trying to think of the word Prabhupada used in this chapter, degrading mentality. It's very degrading. He says, trying to compete with God and practice spiritual life, he said, well, you'll be frustrated because you can't compete with them. So we are Prakriti, and we're here trying to give up the misconception of Purusha that brought us here. We have a particular body that was awarded by nature because we desired to exploit the material nature, so we had to be given a machine to do it. So these bodies are machines. And the particular body called the field, we'll talk about that a little more, is the cultivating field in which we either can produce a good result, like a field, a crop, or bad. Grow good crops, grow bad crops. It's up to us. But the important point is everything we do, we should be planting transcendental seeds. If you plant material seeds, the problem with that is those seeds have to be given a body. You have a desire, it plants a seed, Super Soul records it. If you qualify to have that, you have to take a body to fulfill that desire. And that's not pleasant, because it requires birth, old age, disease, death, right? And the four defects, repeatedly. So our problem is now how to find the solution to this horrible consciousness. It's the consciousness. Each of us is responsible, just as if today, if you were given an exam, some of you were students or you, when you were growing up, you know the person next to you had to take his exam. And what you wrote was your exam. And maybe you might cheat on one or two questions, but ultimately, each of us is taking the exam. So each of us has to bear the responsibility for the result. That you come, that you wish to study, that's being recorded by Super Soul. This jiva is trying, and Super Soul will help. Otherwise, Super Soul stays neutral, and he just lets you do what you want to do. Krishna expands the Super Soul. Keep an eye on this jiva while he's in the material energy. Try to get him to come back. Try to get him to his happy original state. But the jiva, until he actually realizes that he cannot be happy in the material energy, he has no impetus for studying Bhagavad Gita and extricating himself. Such a brilliant chapter, so beautiful. Some people don't like the Gyan section, but it's essential, like it or not. And we did yesterday an approach where we tried to learn all the parts, you know, what are the five objects of Brahman realization, and what are the names of Super Soul, and what were the 20 items of knowledge. We went through slides like that. So today we're going to look at some more slides. We're going to go through the verses. We'll try a few activities as well, so you can get better use of your resource materials. And at the end, we have an 8-minute video, old but still brilliant. It's a Russian video. The English script is brilliant. And it covers the evidence that a super soul exists. We cannot see super soul unless you're a yogi and you have that realization. But by Shastra, we can't see our souls either, even though we passed around the little light the other day. That was a representation of who we are. But basically, there is evidence of the soul, symptoms that prove that the soul is there to any discerning man. Simply, any discerning man has to acknowledge there is a higher consciousness supervising, orchestrating everything. Orchestrating digestion, perception, karma, the whole universe. He's the universal manager. What a headache that is. One temple president has a headache, right? But you see super souls manage the entire material creation without a flaw. So God is inconceivable. Devotees admit that. The non-devotee doesn't think he exists, or if he does, he's fictitious. Okay. Or he's just another ordinary man. Okay, so this is a Who Am I chapter. And we are what? The Kshetragya. And the body is our field. We're cultivating it right now. Hopefully we're planting transcendental seeds. And we are false Purushas. We're Prakriti, exploiting Prakriti, material nature. And this combination of Prakriti and Purush is the section that is quoted the most, given the most emphasis. So we'll be trying to give a lot of attention to that. How we came here, how we come entrapped, and how the transmigratory process operates. So that's a little bit of an overview of the importance of this chapter and what we'll be seeing either in sections. All right, let us go quickly to the chart that's the breakdown chart, so that again we revise that for those of you who were here, and we introduce it for those of you who've come first time. It's very important, as we said yesterday, to know the structure and the flow and the general information. We read this progressively. You see here in your study guide, we follow the programs that a syllabus would use in covering a course. We state our objectives. Our objectives today are to present and try to learn as much as possible. You can't memorize it all. That takes a lot of drilling and practice with the instructor or facilitator. But we prepare those, and then we learn the basics, the title, the size, the section. And then we want to learn the five parts. We revise those quickly. And then we'll be going through, we will actually write in one of the five sections, the key words. We call them sometimes word link, memory link words, or trigger words. So those are there, and we'll be doing that exercise as well. And we want to circle the themes, because themes actually overlap many of the chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So you see it's a bit small in this one, but the most important theme of this chapter would be the relationship of Jiva, Ishvara, and Prakriti, and levels of God realization, those three, and also levels of knowledge. So that's basically, and then here we have angles of vision, because after we have gone through the syllabus systematically, we want to review it in ways that are, Prabhupada said, examine the Bhagavad Gita from many angles of vision. So that's why we have that stage five. That stage means, well, how else can I look at the same thing? I can look at it through slides. I can look at it through gestures. I can look at it through charts. I can look at it through breaking down the pieces, analyzing it piecemeal. And that way I have a more comprehensive conception than just the essential structure. Okay, does everybody follow? This is actually systematic. I'm taking this from programs that successfully follow a syllabus. A syllabus means scope. What do I have to cover? Pace. How much time? Anything you do, if I want to cook a meal or go to deli, I have to decide how much I have to accomplish and how much time can I allot. So that's what a syllabus is. And it has to be realistic and hopefully attained. Okay? So after that, you saw in the section, we'll go over that. I see a lot of new faces and insufficient amount of supplies. We have the Bhagavad Gita with content verse highlighted. That's a skill. When I read, I'm purposeful. I don't just read. You'll get 10% result if you just read. It doesn't work. That's proven. I have to look for the words that are important. Those are called content words. The other words are filler, the glue. But the content words are the message. Then you have the thematic verses. Six plus one more. Seven total. Six are coming from the section on the relationship of Purush and Prakriti. Very important. That's why we're here. And the first one is, what does Krishna say is knowledge? It doesn't fit the world definition at all. At least academic knowledge. Okay, then following that, every definition, according to the subtopics, that you find in a purport. It can be English, it can be Sanskrit, you can quote another sloka. It's extensive. I tell students, don't get scared. It's there as a reference. This whole thing actually just takes apart the chapter, breaks it up, and presents it in a reference form for you, for your personal use. If you're writing a paper or you're studying for an exam, you can use this as a supplement, because otherwise it's a thick book with a lot of text, and unless you're expert in doing this mentally, you need guidance. You need guidance. All right, the following section after that is analogies and examples. That's also required in coursework. And Prabhupada stresses analogies very, very much, and Krishna uses them as well. Analogies give us a concrete understanding of an abstract philosophical point. So we have in here, but not only analogies, but we have examples. And what I do is I go through each section, and I look at especially the final sentence of a purport. Because the final sentence of a purport is the writer's final conclusion in a summary statement. So that's usually the philosophical point. This chapter is very philosophical, but it's also knowledge. Three sections are heavy on knowledge. Two sections are very heavy on philosophy. So both often are things that the average devotee might not find so attractive or appealing. But without this chapter, you cannot get to liberation, Brahmabhuta. So I hope all of you who are here want to get to the level of Brahmabhuta. Prabhupada said, without Gyan, you cannot do it. Gyan brings liberation, and liberation qualifies you to advance further to the spiritual world. And there are two or three verses in here that promise that. What's the fruit of all this? You attain the supreme goal. This chapter does not emphasize Krishna. this chapter emphasizes super soul. Because in our conditioned state, he's with us. He has been since we entered the material atmosphere, and he will stay with us until we become extricated. Then you don't need super soul anymore. You'll have Krishna directly. Okay? After that, you have a verse question bank. We'll try a few of those. We'll read a verse, and then we'll go to this, and we'll see if some of you can fill in the missing word. I took the sloka, and I went through it. I typed them all out, and then I dropped two or three words. So it's a fun little exercise if you're trying to not necessarily memorize the English, but at least I dropped the really important words. Okay? That's another way to cross-reference information. When you're studying, you don't just study one way. You think, well, I try it this way. Just like math, or when you're adding, sometimes you come down, and then to check, you go up. Right? You do that. I'm adding long columns of math. If I make a mistake, oh, I go up this way. Because maybe in that way, I'll get it right this time. Okay. So the next section after that, you see the breakdown chart also there. Scriptural references, and then we have two charts. Scripture references, a lot, many of the Upanishads. This section 3 is Upanishadic. Krishna is this, and he's the opposite. He walks, he doesn't walk. He has senses, but he doesn't have senses. You know, how can he be both? That's Krishna. He's amazing. So then we have our walkthrough words. We'll be trying that as we read the slides. I've taken an essence words from the 35 slokas, and that'll help us do what we call, it's a strategy. How do we walk through a book? If you're visiting Krishna Balaram campus for the first time, someone may say, oh, may I help you? And they'll just quickly walk you through. You won't stay in one department, but it's just, oh, yeah, this is the Prabhupada's house, this is the library, this is the Prasadam Hall, this is the May I Help You Center, just so you know. So that's what this purpose is. It's not meant to be the end, it's just a stage in the beginning framework. After that, too, you see two charts. And these two charts, this one is a chart on the Gyan section, which gives you the number of the chapter as well as the number of slokas, and it gives you the title. Very handy reference. We have that in a small little booklet. It's what we call the anatomy of the chapter, like the skeleton of the body. Once you know the skeleton of the body, you're strong. If everybody here, all of a sudden, your skeleton disintegrated, you'd be a pool of, like an amoeba on the floor. So studying is like that. The key motto in effective studying is you master the skeleton. You master the skeleton, because if you have a strong, just like a body, if you have a strong structural skeleton, your body's healthy. If the skeleton is weak, you're not healthy. And in a building, if the skeleton is weak, it collapses. So if you study and you don't have a strong structural comprehension of the skeleton, everything you know is on a shaky platform. Very shaky. Where does it go? It's just more verses, quantity, no categorization. And then the other chart on the reverse side is specifically we call this a radiant pattern of study. In the center, you have the main chapter, 1335, and around it, you have the satellite topics. So it's a zoom in. You do that all the time on your camera or on your computer. Zoom in, zoom out. So as I zoom in, now I'm zooming in on chapter 13, and I zoom in on each one of the topics. So that's, again, it's logical. If you're in an airplane, you can see everything. But as you come closer to the landing, everything becomes more detailed. But at the same time, at that point, you don't get the big picture. You need zoom in, zoom out. So we zoom in and zoom out, zoom out. Everybody following the terminology? It's common sense. It's just sometimes people don't learn to transpose it into the field of study. And what could be more important to study than Bhagavad Gita? Right? Nothing could be more important to study, especially for your first, and you apply it to anything in life. All right, so you've got that. You see it on the charts? All right. Now, let's go back again. I'll use the tablet. And we'll just put the facts in for those of you first time, because we do that again. In the first chapter title, and we use codes, because codes are a symbolic study. You study by symbols. All right? So the first one is, the title is Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness. So just put that in that line. And I urge you to write, because I said this yesterday. Writing brings retention up to 70%. If you want to sit here and listen, you're safe. But why don't you get more benefit from your time? We're here to help you optimize your time. It's short. You can die at any minute. It doesn't take much. We're a little drop of water on a lotus leaf. One lady was coming yesterday here to help us out. She texted me and she said, I was hit by a vehicle on the street and I injured my leg. Danger at every step. Nobody knows. Don't gamble with what time is here, right? Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness. And we said yesterday, of the five topics that are the truths of the Gita, one is Prakriti, right? Then we have the Krishna, Ishvara, he's the big enjoyer. We're the attempting to enjoy. And then consciousness, this is so important. Because consciousness is actually what is seeing everything. We are conscious atomic particles. We're not the material tabernacle. That's the prison suit for the soul. Okay? And the next thing we do is we say, all right, this was the 13th chapter, we know that, and we put how big it is. So you see on the charts, we always add that. That's another skill. I try to double the information, pack it along. If you have some bags, you'll see there'll be two pockets, three pockets, four pockets. How much can I store properly? So chapter 13 is how big?
35.
Yeah, repetition brings retention. It's called kirtan. It also brings retention. It brings retention. We're here to learn more quickly and remember longer. That's the point of education. Learn more quickly, more effectively, and retain it longer. Most programs are built on high pressure, short retention, and after a short time, I forgot it. Right? Have you ever experienced that in school? 2 months after the exam, you would have failed it. But that's not the point of learning, especially the Gita. You don't want to forget the Gita. You can forget chemistry if you like, but don't forget the Gita. Okay? Then the section. This is the first chapter of what? Yeah, the first chapter of Gyan Yoga. And this is part of the crust of the sandwich. Bhakti's in the middle, karma's at the beginning. Gyan is so important. Right? Especially if it's the support to bhakti. In and of itself, no. But is the support to bhakti essential? Prabhupada said, without gyan, you don't get to Brahmabhuta. So I assume all of you here want to attain. Brahmabhuta means you go from practicing bhakti to actually performing bhakti. You have no more psychological, physiological connection with the material body. When will that day be ours, right? When will that day be ours? All right, now let's do the topics and we'll put the chart again. You have the color chart, the breakdowns, we'll do that really quickly because we do have a lot of faces here that are new. So those of you who were here yesterday, tolerate this, but it's good review. Krishna consciousness means you have to repeat in Kali Yuga. We're not the body, we're not the body. 4 years you're here, 40 years you're here, we're not the body. But still, wait a minute. How long did it take to sink in? All right, here. So here we see this chapter. Now we know the title, we know the size, we know where it is. It's in the section of Gyan. We know it's the first chapter. Now we want to know what Krishna is going to discuss progressively and how systematic he is. He's the exemplar of systematic study. So we see here, first we start with the numbers, and we immediately look for repetition, patterns, anything we use to study math. So yesterday we saw 7 three times, and we saw 3 odd numbers, 5, 7, and 9. Okay? So we see that the first and the third and the fourth are 7. The last one's a little bigger. It's the conclusion, and it's the fruit of the knowledge. What is the fruit of all this knowledge? Why am I here? And number 5 is the section on liberation. How do I proceed to become liberated? 5 slokas there. And we saw 20 slides on that yesterday. Okay? All right. So let me write those on the board, and you will also fill them in if you hadn't done that yesterday. Your first size, topic size, was 7. Second one was 5. Double 7. And what was next?
9.
7, 5. Or you can say 75, 77, 9. Sometimes you have to memorize PIN codes, telephone numbers, you know. Use tricks. They're called memory tricks. The Romans and the Greeks did it. The Vedic scholars didn't have to bother with tricks. They were shrutidars. We need help. All right? So we know that. Now we're going to see how Krishna presents this philosophy and this knowledge, because he does both. The first three sections cover the information, the breakdown. He will analyze three things in the first three sections. In the next two, he starts to show you the combinations, the interactions. So the first one, he analyzes the material body and the elements. He presents that knowledge. That's the first thing you know. Nature, this body, which is the field, what constitutes that? So that's, again, information. The second one is the process I use to get out of it. I'm entrapped in this first one. The next one is, you see the arrows. The first one is kshetra, kshetragya. I have to know I'm not the kshetra, I'm the kshetragya. I am the knower of that body. I am the consciousness who's watching the body. It's a movie. We're all sitting here in a movie. Collective movie we're having right now. We are atomic particles watching a movie. The body's not watching the movie. That camera is not watching the movie. That camera is the instrument through which the movie is being projected. Your body is the instrument through which the movie is being projected. You understand that? Make sense? All right, so the next is the process of extrication. 20 items. And the next one, what's the object of the knowledge? What's the knowable? And that's the soul and the super soul. So those 7 verses deal with that. Those 3 are analyzed separately. First one is the field, right? The elements. Second one, the process of getting out of it. And the next one, what's the goal? I need to know. What's the constitution of the soul? And what's the constitution of the super soul? Now, the most important section, once you know that, well, that's good. But what's the point of it? How do they interact? So in the next section, you get prakriti prashparush. Nothing that you see in this world, moving and non-moving, can happen without the combination of both. Nature by itself is inert. Only the presence of the spirit gives it life. Right? That's it. You have a dead body and a living body. The spirit has to be present. The dead body, it's gone. It's just inert matter. Nothing will happen. You can't revive it. And this section is very important because into how we came here, how we came in contact with the material energy, how we became entrapped, and how we transmigrate repeatedly, 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 repeatedly. So this section has most of the thematic verses. The final section is what's the fruit? The fruit is knowledge gives us the correct perceptual understanding of what we cannot see. We cannot see the soul. We cannot see the super soul. We have to acquire transcendental knowledge from a higher authority to see with the eyes of knowledge, shastra chakshus. Otherwise, you're seeing through your material senses, and they're perverted, they're limited, and they'll give you the upside-down picture. You cannot understand what's happening, why. But once you have the eyes of knowledge, and the fruit of the knowledge is I see differently, I act differently, and I attain the goal of knowledge, which is to attain Krishna, the Supreme. He promises that in 2 or 3 slokas. So everybody follow the development here? Okay? So let's ask you again. If I ask you, what's KS and KSJ? What does that mean, loudly? What's K mean? Kshetra and? Kshetra. Yeah, that's the beginning of knowledge. I'm not the Kshetra, I'm Kshetra. I'm the knower of the body. Who am I? Okay, and the next one, yeah, here you see pictures. This is a more evolved chart. What's the process of knowledge? Beginning with humility, it starts again sequentially. It starts with humility and it ends with the philosophical search for the absolute. It's progressive. Each of those slokas cluster and they're progressive. If you're humble, if you're tolerant, if you're nonviolent, if you're prideless, you'll go to a spiritual master for help. If you're arrogant, if you're intolerant, if you're violent, you will not go to somebody for spiritual guidance. And then when you accept a spiritual master, he will instruct you on being clean, on being steady, on being renounced. And then when that's the result, then you'll want to behave differently. You won't want to live with the general mass of people. You'll see the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. You'll see differently. The guru's business is to help you end the material conception of life. That's what brings us here. Tamas Buddhi. It's the wrong conception. And it's binding and it's suffering from beginning to end. Then you see Prakriti and Purush. Oh, I'm sorry, the object of knowledge mostly on the super soul, qualities of the super soul and the soul. And they're distinctive positions. They're not the same. That's the monist philosophy. Super soul and soul are not the same. Then how Prakriti and Purush, everything moving and non-moving in the creation that you see, is a combination of the of Prakriti, material nature, and the spirit. Even when you see how the material elements evolve at the building of creation, only until super soul enters the material creation does it come to life. Without spirit, the touch of spirit, matter is dead, inert. And finally, what is the vision of knowledge? How does a person who's in knowledge see? He sees differently. And because he sees differently, Krishna interacts with him differently. Life becomes different for him. Even if he's in difficult circumstances, he's unaffected. So knowledge is so important. Even in the material world, we are born, even if we didn't know about spiritual life, we are born in ignorance. Why are there schools? Don't drink Clorox. Don't put your finger in the electric socket. Right? Because this whole world's it's danger at every step. So even material knowledge, because we're born in darkness. But what to speak of transcendental knowledge? Who can tell us that except the supreme authority? Krishna or his representative. Without knowledge, you're walking around blind. Okay? So you see the breakdowns? And you understand the sections, okay? All right, now let us quickly take a quick look at some of the charts we saw yesterday. Yesterday we also did this, for those of you who weren't here. We were showing this, and we were showing this. Everybody liked this one. You have yours, did you bring yours along? Yeah, right. So basically what we don't see in everybody is this. This is what we have to understand. That this the little jiva, and this is the super soul. You're not this one, you're this one. We passed it around and everybody had to say, I'm not this material body, I'm a part and parcel of Krishna. Because the problem is, we're so conditioned, we see the box, we see the cage, and we judge. That's the problem. The minute you judge, you degrade. Right? So the Brahman conception is, I see past that, I don't judge, I see everybody on the spiritual platform, and the reciprocation is Krishna deals with you on the spiritual platform. You'll get what you are. Right? If you want to see on the material platform, that's what you're going to get. If you want to be on the spiritual platform, then you have to change your conception. Right? Understand that point? It's a mirror. It's not, it's a mirror. All right. So, and we covered some of these words. In the middle, we had the five terms for the Brahman realization, five ways of understanding Brahman. And then we had Prakriti, Purush, Kshetra. We went over this yesterday. We're not going to do it again because we want to cover slokas also. And we had many of the terms for, in the 23rd sloka, for Supersoul. Just to show how he's different from the individual soul. He's our friend and our guide, and he's the only person who's with us all the time. Whether we've been Brahma, whether we've been a worm in stool, whether we're asleep, whether we're awake, every one of us here is he's your closest best friend. If somebody else says he's your friend, he's not your friend. If somebody tells you Super Soul's your best friend, he's your friend. That's your friend. Because what can your friend really do for you? Sympathize. Empathize. But they can't really do much for you. Okay, and again, here we have a chart that shows the sloka is mostly from that section, 20, 21, 25. I think the colors are wrong on this one. The other chart was the blue one. I changed it. Maybe we forgot to change that. And the third one is, what is knowledge from the first section? Okay? And we're going to do this exercise now also. Let's go back to that first page in your study guide. I would like you to circle, if you didn't do it, I'd like you to circle. We have so much to cover and I forget being sequential myself. Please circle 10A. That is the theme that is prevalent in this particular chapter. 10A is the relationship between Jiva, Ishvara, and Prakriti. And those three topics are three out of the five truths of the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kal, and Karma. Four are eternal. Prakriti is eternal. Sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest. Karma can be changed. Karma can be changed. Okay? Everybody understand that one? All right. Now, also you may want to circle levels of God realization because that's always stressed from Brahman to Paramatma to Bhagavan. And also levels of knowledge, 3A. So important. Different levels of knowledge. Being higher the level of knowledge, the higher the level of realization, the higher the freedom from reaction. So important. Knowledge is so important. Okay, did you do that? All right, let's try. We're going to go to the circles now, the pearls, and the orange section, the first section. And we'll actually, what you can do is go to the whole section. Okay, and because the pearl charts are in that section. So go to the first section. All right, now let's see how this works. Before we start, we analyze the words that are critical. And we look at this chart, we see two slokas are combined, 1 and 2, and 6 and 7. The first two, Arjuna is asking the six questions, and Krishna in the second verse answers immediately and definitively. 6 and 7 are combined, and we get in 6, what are the elements? And in the next one, their interactions. How do they interact? Because how they interact represents how the gross and the subtle bodies actually function. That's not us. That's even material. We're above that. All right, and we're going to see one other word here, Vedanta Sutra. Evidence. There has to be proof. Even Krishna cites evidence. And number 3 is the key verse. You see the star there. What constitutes knowledge? It isn't what, you know, what is IIT or MIT will tell you. They're analyzing the field, but you know, they cannot tell you why the field is there and how it acts. They can only analyze it. They can tell you what, and not even that thoroughly, but they cannot tell you the why or the how. They cannot do that. Number 4, Krishna gives a summary. He says, now I will explain. I'll give you a summary explanation. But he quotes, before he starts, authority. And that is the Vedic way. You have to cite your references. So he says, this has been explained in Vedanta Sutra, especially, and by various sages. Okay, so our first word is what? Wish. Now, I want you to go to your chart. Just try this one time, and you'll see what a difference it makes. If you see here on this page, topic, sequence. This is a sequential flow. We know the structure. Now we need to know how things flow within the structure. So if you have time, take it now. Write the word. What's your first word you're going to write?
Wish.
And what's the second word? Body. Yes. Yes, this body is the field, not you. And then what's your third word? Right. And if you want to just put a code or a letter, write that. Please take time to do it. Maybe some of you don't have the papers from yesterday. And what's your next word?
Field.
Now he's going to explain. Field is what we cultivate. We're given a field to cultivate. Nature gives us a field. We wanted to be Purusha. We wanted to be controllers. You have to have a field to exercise that desire. So that's what brings us here. And we have a field. This body, according to your karma, is how much you can exploit. If you've got big karma, you can exploit really well. Prabhupada said America has big exploiting karma. It's not desirable. It's actually more binding. Now, Vedanta Sutra, you can put VS. And then the elements are listed, 24, plus their interactions. The interactions means the evidence that they're working. All right, do you understand that? Do you have time? If you can, write. Or first, write the first letter. That's another trick. Just put the first letter. Now let's see how this works. We're going to look at the slides in sequence. Because once you know that, then the slides, you can handle more. I've got an anchor on this sloka. But these slokas are deep. You can read them time and time again, and still, my goodness, how did Krishna speak this in about half an hour, huh? Now, when I read, I will stop, and everybody loudly add the next word. That's also a strategy, because most people, if you just read the book, anybody can sit and read the book. But if everybody has to watch and follow and interact, they're less likely to go to sleep. And they're looking for points. Reading has to be purposeful or it's useless. It's just running through the brain. It just like that. Arjuna said, oh my dear, I wish. There's the word. Notice how polite he is. And this is the only sloka he speaks. He's inviting Krishna to answer his question. He wants to know why we are here. We're trying to be enjoyers, and he wants an understanding. I wish to know about, which is what?
Nature.
Purush, the
enjoyer.
And the field, and the knower of the? And of the object of the six questions. Kshetra, Kshetra-gya, right? Prakriti, Purush, Gyan, and Gnayam. KK, PP, JJ. We started, what's it? PPKKJJ. All right, so you understand the first verse. Introductory with six questions. Next sloka is answering the question definitively. The supreme, and what's the word?
Body.
And right away he's showing you something. The picture is meant to enhance the term. The Supreme Personality of God had said, this body, O son of Kunti, is called the? And the one who knows this body is called the
knower
of the field. Kshetra?
Kshetra-gya.
Okay. Now we want to know what's knowledge. Is it book knowledge? No. O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the and in all, not just one, everybody. That takes a super brain. God is inconceivable. Inconceivable. He knows everything that ever was, ever will be, for every entity in the whole material creation. That's smart. And to understand this body and its
knowledge
is called
knowledge.
So if we want to say I have knowledge, you have to understand two things. What? You have to know the body and you have to know what? The knower. Next. Oh, and then he adds, politely, that's my opinion. He's so polite. Next. Now he's going to explain the field. Now please hear my brief description of this field. Now that's the field, the body. Of what?
Activity.
And how? Now this is a long list. And Prabhupada in the purport says, you need to know this. Prabhupada says, not just, oh, it's boring, let me skip this chapter. You need to know this. Let's find out what we need to know. Because Krishna states it. I need to know how it is what? Constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, and who the knower of the field of is, and what his influences are. What are his influences? Okay, next. And he quotes. What does he quote? Especially. And who writes Vedanta Sutra? Vyasadeva, an incarnation of Krishna. That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra. He quotes that one. Very clear. What's nature, what's the soul, and what's the super soul? With all reasoning as to cause and effect. Very, very systematically presented. Next. The elements. Now here we have a chart of the eight basic elements. The five great elements. False ego, we have two of the subtle ones. Intelligence. The unmanifested, that's the pradhan. The ten senses and the mind. The mind can be in two categories. It can be in the subtle or in the gross. And sometimes it's called the inner sense. And the five sense objects. Now we spent a lot of time and saw a video on that yesterday. We won't do that again today. Now, here's how they interact. The karmendriyas, the manifestation of the karmendriyas are two. Desire and hate, happiness and distress. The karmendriyas, the proof that the karmendriyas are there are the feelings of I desire or I hate. And they bring either happiness or distress. Okay? Desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life. Now the other ones, the life symptoms and convictions, are the manifestations of the three subtle ingredients. Mind, intelligence, false ego. Convictions, life symptoms. And its final word is what? Interaction. So the field is described in terms of its elements and its interactions. Next. Now, we'll quickly, we're not going to spend too much, but I just want you to see how this goes, because now we've got to go through the verses. So let's go back to the words. I like to look at different words. I have a lot of negative words here. This chapter stresses that this world is not a happy place. I see the word evil. I see the word entanglement. I see the word ignorance. This is the process for getting out of this kind of a situation. I see the word humility, and I see the word unalloyed. All right, the beginning word is humility, and at the end, Krishna says, anything that does not, that is contrary to these 20 items of the process of knowledge, extrication, he said, that constitutes ignorance. So if you want to know what constitutes knowledge, 20 points. Anything that doesn't fall into that category is what? Ignorance. Pretty simple. Confronting. You don't want to tell most people that they have to see the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. It's all around, but they don't want to see it. Okay, or entanglement of family life. Oh, they don't want to hear that. It's entangling. They don't want to hear that. Or they don't want to know that anything else they like doing is ignorance. They don't want to hear that. The scriptures are very confronting. It takes humility to approach the scriptures and to accept them and have faith in them and to follow them. It takes humility. Next. Humility. Now here we're going to have a list. This first section, first sloka, okay, 8.13.8. Humility, pridelessness, what's the next one? Nonviolence, right? Simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, and self-control. We'll move quickly through these five. Okay, now the next series, in the next verse 9, you'll see more. Renunciation of the objects of sense, absence of false, the perception of the evil. Evil. That's heavy. Most people are very excited. Oh, look at the baby. That baby's a conditioned soul. It's not just a cute little thing. Perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and? And the last one? Detachment. You have to be detached. If you get attached to this, you're coming back. Next. Number 10, entanglement. Poor King Chitraketu, he gets a son and he realizes, oh my goodness, I have to get out of this. Freedom from what? With children, wife, home, and the rest. Even-mindedness in? Pleasant and unpleasant. You're not affected if it looks good, if it looks bad, you're neutral. Next. And that brings you to what? It brings you to constant and? Unalloyed. That's what it takes to get out of the bondage. If your bhakti is interrupted and if it's mixed, you have to come back. If your bhakti has breaks, if it's mixed, you have to take another body. It's stressed again and again, constant, unalloyed, ahaitukiya pratihata, everywhere. It's not just a fairy tale. It's the goal. And you want to live in a solitary place. Detachment from the general mass of people. Next. And this is the last sloka in that section. The word is ignorance. Accepting, you have to be willing to accept the importance of what? Self-realization. That's why we're here. We want to be self-realized. Right now we are asleep to our spiritual form. We're getting close. But we still don't know who we are. Maybe some people here do, but for the most part, most of us don't. And the search for, philosophical search, for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be, and whatever is besides this, maybe is ignorance. 20 or not. Very basic, simple. This is the process of getting out of the extrication. Now, quickly, these terms. Now we're going to hear about, this is a very difficult section, the nature of the soul and the super soul. Okay? Number 13, it is, what's the word?
Subordinate.
Everywhere Krishna is saying in the Gita, Brahman is subordinate to me, Brahman is subordinate to me. And all of India say Brahman is above that. They have it upside down because they're not hearing from the parampara. They have it upside down. Brahman is not the ultimate understanding. It is subordinate. And he's number 14, where is he? Now it starts from general to specific. First you see the all-pervasive aspect of Brahman, and it comes down to 18, he's in the heart. You'll see this followed up in chapter 15 also, where we go from the cosmic to the personal. Krishna is helping us on all levels. And what's the result? You attain the supreme. And only who can do it? The devotees. Prabhupada said, you can't understand Bhagavad Gita unless you're a devotee. So if they go to universities and they study Bhagavad Gita, what's going to happen? Will they know it? No. Not possible. Not possible. They can try and try and try. They cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. You have to be a devotee. Okay, let's look at the slokas. We'll read those together quickly. Subordinate, what's that? Brahman. Is it exciting? Is it interesting? Boring, right? I should now explain the knowable. That's the object of knowledge. Knowing which you will taste what? The eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless, and subordinate to me. Who's me? Krishna. Subordinate to me lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. That means the karma. That's the position that's above the modes. Brahman. Next, sloka. Where is he? Everywhere. His hands, his legs, his eyes, his hands, his faces. He has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists. Pervading. It's his all-pervading aspect. He's in the atom. He's in the heart. He knows everything. You cannot keep a secret from super soul. Don't try, because he'll trick you. If you want to trick him, he's trickier. He'll baffle you. He'll baffle you. Oh, he wants to play games with me, I'll play games with him. Next sloka. Super soul. The super soul is the original source of all. He's the source. Yet he is without. Now, this doesn't mean senses. He has spiritual senses. He is the maintainer of all living, what? Beings. But he transcends the, modes. Yet at the same time, he is the master. So he can be maintaining everybody, but he's detached. And he can be controlling the modes, but he's the master. Inconceivable position of super soul. Next. The supreme truth. Now he's inside and outside of everything. The supreme truth exists where? Loudly? Outside and inside of all living beings. The moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle. He is beyond the power of the material senses. Can we see him? No. To see or to know, you can't even know him. The material sciences cannot know him. Only through Shastra. Although far, far away, he is what? Near. So he can be far away, he can be near. He's everywhere. Next. He appears to be what? Divided. But is he divided? No. Although the supersoul appears to be among all beings, he is never, he is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood, he maintains us, but he also does what? He devours and he also develops. So he's the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer. He does all three. Next. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He's beyond the darkness of matter and is what? Unmanifested. He is knowledge, he's the object, and he is the goal of, he's all three. He is situated in everyone's, he's there with you, always. He's your best friend. Next. Here's the result. Thus the field of activities. Now Krishna's summarizing. He gives us a synopsis of the three parts that he tried. Thus the field of activities, the body, knowledge, and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my can understand this and thus attain to my nature. These little boys, it's explained in the Bhagavatam, had accomplished many, many pious activities to be qualified to be playmates of Krishna. That's how you attain Krishna. All right, that's that Zach section. That we had two slokas. We didn't know which picture to choose. Okay? Now, this section. Beginningless cause, enjoying, enjoyer, liberation, perceive here. Do you see the stars? This section is heavy. This is how we came here, how we're trapped, and how we keep transmigrating. This is the philosophical, the union of Prakriti and Purush. False Purush. False enjoyers. You see the word enjoying? Number 22, 23. Who's the real enjoyer? Famous verse. And how do some people try to perceive the super soul? And number 26, Prabhupada said, this sloka is Kali Yuga sloka. This is for Kali Yuga, because most people cannot do 25. But if they are simple, if they hear from authorities in the parampara, they too can attain the supreme. Just by hearing with faith from the right source, you can also achieve perfection. Okay, we're beginningless, like nature. Cause and effect, karma, that's what we did. We wanted to come here. So nature has to give us a body to exercise that desire. We're trying to enjoy it. But the real enjoyer is 23, super soul. Liberation means if I understand this philosophy, I can be liberated. How do I try to understand it? Either by Ashtanga yoga, meditation, by knowledge, cultivation of knowledge, or by renunciation of the fruits of action. But most people can't do those things. So if they hear in number 26, if they hear from the right source. Okay, let's do the slokas quickly on that one. Okay, material nature and the living entities should be understood to be what? Beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of the material nature. Everything you see, this, your body, this table, moving, non-moving, it's a product of the material nature. And the transformations are also. Next picture. The word is, this is a symbol, the next one. Cause. The next one. Cause. That's a symbol for some, for karma. We created that by our desire. Nature didn't force it on us, but nature has to give us the machine for implementing it. All right? Nature is said to be the what? Cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is what? He's the cause of the sufferings and enjoyments in this. So if we're suffering or if we're enduring, who's to blame? We are. We cannot blame externals. That's a neophyte devotee. An advanced devotee will not blame the externals. Next. Here's a typical scene. The living entity, look how they are enjoying, right? She's got the dog on the table. They're trying to enjoy everything from the dog to the woman to the man. They're all Prakriti, but they're trying to be Purush. The living entity and the material nature following the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of? This is due to what? Association with that material nature. We had to be associated with the modes to become infected. If you associate with goodness, you become infected with goodness. If you associate with ignorance, you become infected. All of them are various degrees of infection. The modes are infecting. They're contaminated. Thus he meets with good and evil in various, where he's the dog on the table or the lady or the man. He's infected. Next slide. But there is a Purush enjoyer, a real one. Yet in this body there is another transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer, permitter, and who is known as what? He is super soul. Next. One who understands. And there was Devahuti. She was so humble. She said, I want to get out of the mud of these three modes. And her son's Kapila. Not a bad son, huh? concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain what? Liberation. He will not take birth again, regardless of his present. So those of you sitting here qualify for liberation and not having to take birth again. Next. Here's a star one. Perceive. Three ways of perceiving the super soul. Some perceive the super soul within themselves through what?
Meditation.
Others through cultivation of? And others through working without fruitive desire. But, number 26. Again, this is a very important sloka. Again, those who, although not conversant with spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him. Lord Chaitanya stressed hearing. Prabhupada stressed hearing. From others, because of their tendency to hear. From whom? Authorities. They also do what? They transcend the path of birth and death. There's hope for us. Just get people to try to hear, if they have to be simple souls. Faith, not the faithless, but those who have faith. Next. Quickly, we've got to zoom through this and see a quick video. Now, this section is the fruit of what you've just studied. Now you know everything is going to be a combination of these three items, nature, enjoyer, and the supreme. And you're going to know that the super soul is accompanying everybody you see. And when you see that, you will treat people differently. You will not degrade yourself. If I'm dealing with you and I know Paramatma's watching, will I be offensive? No. But if I just see you as an external object, I might become offensive, right? I probably will. This is the importance of it teaches you how to see, and that will result in how you act, and that will bring you to a higher platform of attainment. How you see, how you behave, and what will be the result? You elevate. And you realize in 30 that's nothing, you're not doing anything. Everything's being carried out the material energy. And when you come to that level, you have the Brahman conception. That's the platform of Brahman. And that, number 32, is the vision of eternity. You know, well, if I'm a soul and the super soul is with me and we're both eternal, this destructible body, I don't die. I'm eternal. That's a vision of what? Eternity. And then he gives two brilliant analogies. As the sky doesn't mix with anything because it's subtle, the soul of the person in Brahman realization doesn't mix with the body. He's free. He's in the body, but he's free. Very elevated state. And as the sun illuminates the sky, the soul illuminates the body. When the body dies, the light goes out of the eyes. You see a person and they know if the person has died, right? What happens? The eyes go dark because the soul is gone. And finally, one who has, he knows two things. He has the eyes, he knows what is knowledge, right? And he knows the process of liberation. He can attain the supreme goal. Now, very quickly, before we watch the last little video, I want you to see some of the other... Oh, let's see this slokas. Well, just take a look at the pictures, okay? Because we have some other sloka slides, special ones. You know everything's a combination. Go back to the first one. Everything's a combination of what? Material elements, the soul, and the what? Super soul. You'll see this in the video. In the next slide, you'll realize that who's accompanying you all the time? Super soul. And in the next one, the next sloka, here's the person who has that vision. This is from chapter 5, the humble sage. He sees on the spiritual platform the dog eater, the Brahmin, the highest caste to the lowest caste, the highest animal species to the lowest animal species. He sees it with eyes of equanimity. And in the next sloka, nothing. The soul is doing nothing. What's carrying out everything? The modes. Everything's going, the modes are acting. And in the next sloka, this person has, when he's sensible, he'll have Brahman vision. And he'll see different entities. They're just material bodies. And that the super soul is expanded everywhere. This person has Brahman vision. Those with a vision, we'll read these last three. Those with a vision of what? Eternity can see that the imperishable soul is what? He's transcendental, eternal, beyond the modes. But despite contact with the material body, the soul neither does anything nor is what? No. Next. The sky, due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, although it is all-pervading. Similarly, the what? The soul, situated in Brahman vision. It is a quality, Brahman vision does not mix with the what? The body, though situated in that body. And the next one? Illuminates. O son of Bharat, as the, I think it should be Scion of Bharat, anyway. As the sun alone illuminates this universe, so does the living entity, one within the body. What does the soul do? It's illuminating the whole body. We're moving because of the presence of the soul. The minute the soul is gone, it's a dead corpse, and nobody wants to touch it. Quickly, they burn it, bury it, do something, get rid of it. Finally, this is the beautiful ending one. Those who see with the eyes of, now you have knowledge. You see differently. The difference between what? The body and the? The kshetra, kshetragya. And he can also understand what? The 20 items of liberation. From bondage, immaterial nature, attains to what? The supreme goal. That's what you get. Okay, now just a few quick other slides. Those the Brahman realization packet, those five. Where's that one? Yes, I wanted you to see those. These are five ways that the Lord expands for enjoyment. Anamaya. Some people can realize him that we're dependent on food. Try living without food for too long. Right? What's this called? Anamaya. This is even a baby understands that. It's more elevated. The next slide. I realize I'm a living being and I could die. That's called what? Yeah, I'm a living being. A baby doesn't even realize that. But he realizes life symptoms, life force, recognizes life thing. Next level, even higher. Yes, the mind, thinking, feeling, willing, the subtle level. That's called what? Jnanamaya. When you're more advanced. These are all material. Now, higher still, this is where spiritual life begins. Vijnanamaya, there's a distinction between my body and myself. Distinction, I'm a soul. The bodies are different. And the final one, if I dovetail with the source of happiness, I can have also perfection and ananda. I cannot have ananda without connection with Krishna. Anandamaya. Those are the five levels of Brahman realization. Okay? All right. We had a lot of other little slides. I don't know. We can look up. We do want to watch the video. Let's look at the packet. I was trying to think of some of the other special slides, analogy slides. Not that one. No, it's just some of my other verse slides, analogies and examples. Where's that one? Analogies. You don't have it. There you go. Okay. Okay. We go quickly. Let's just see some other, just so they see some more charts. Okay, here's another slide. This man is a farmer, right? He knows that the field is not him. So the chetra is the field, and he is what? They're just simple slides to give you the concept. Okay, the next slide. Right. If one thinks that the soul and the super soul are the same, he's mistaken. This particular example Krishna gives, here's a rope, but it looks like what?
Snake.
Looks like a snake. He said, you cannot confuse the rope with the serpent. That person is an illusion. The soul and the super soul are different. So this is an example Prabhupada uses. I'm just picking things from the purports with the slide. Now he gives the example of the king and the citizen. The king knows all of the property, plus his palace. That's Krishna. But the citizen only knows his what? His field, his property. He doesn't know anybody else's property. So Prabhupada gives the king and the citizen's analogy in that section. What analogy? Oh, here's a cute one. The painter, the painting, and the easel. The material nature, the Lord, and the soul. So this, the little girl, she represents actually the person doing the activity, which is the super soul. Nature's the easel, sort of holding it up. I'm not too sure what the example is of the canvas, but one should not, Prabhupada says in that analogy, you shouldn't confuse them. You shouldn't confuse these three items of the soul, the super soul, and the field. Okay, and the next one? Next one. Okay, that, we've done that one before, the elements. Also, the super soul appears to be divided. Here's a picture of the sun moving in different directions. But he's one. The sun is one. He appears divided. Next. Yes, as long as we are attached to this material world, what will we have to do? We have to transmigrate. You have to. If I'm attached to my iPad, if I'm attached to my mother, it doesn't matter. Any attachment will bring us back. Very dangerous. Next. Yes, here we have Prakriti. These people are Prakriti by a constitution, but Purusha by mentality. That's our problem. Next. And this is different names of the super soul. Upadrasta, Unamata, Parta, Mokta, Enjoyer. So many things. Famous sloka. Okay. And we'll just end that here. I just want you to see the little video really quickly because it's almost 7 o'clock. And this video is done by Russians, but the translation is brilliant. The narrator is Australian. It's brilliant. The pictures are a little old. The movie was made in 2009, so the computers really look outdated. But the text is brilliant. And the purpose of it is to show that there's evidence of a super soul. First, it shows that we are soul and we're not the body, and that we're frustrated. But there's a presence of another being. How can he be by evidence shown? So watch carefully, okay?
This is the opposite tendency. Consciousness is constantly trying to escape from.
Now sometimes I'm going to ask you to just stop it there if you can't hear it so well. Here it's saying we are trying to escape the laws of nature. That's all the material scientists are trying to do. That's all they can do. Okay, go ahead.
The ways to immortality and eternal happiness, which by definition are impossible in the temporary.
Okay, stop it. He's saying here, because we're trying for immortality, we can't do it. They can't do that. But they're trying for the impossible. Next.
Therefore, between the needs of the soul and the limited abilities of the body, there is a constant contradiction.
Okay,
manifestation.
Okay, stop it there. The spirit soul, which is eternal, is frustrated in a temporary encagement. He cannot experience the eternity, knowledge, and happiness aspects of the spirit. He can't. All right, next.
It's obvious that consciousness has properties different from matter. It is interesting that Leonard's definition of matter.
And we'll just let it run so you watch it. Can you hear it? Anybody? Can you follow it a little bit?
According to this definition, the matter is an objective reality given to us in the form of feelings and sensations, and independent of them. If the matter is given to us, we are therefore not part of it.
Okay, now stop it here. He's saying now if knowledge has to come to us, we are distinct from knowledge. We're subjective. Knowledge is objective. You understand the point? That means we, as souls, are different from the knowledge we have to acquire. That's one proof. And he said, Lenin even said that. Okay, next.
Definition makes sense only if we accept that we, as souls, carriers of individual consciousness, accept the body as a biological suit.
This means we understand, we stop that, we understand the body is a suit, but it's not the consciousness. Next.
We have an open question as to who gave us these very sophisticated costumes, but more on that later.
Now we want to know who gave us these costumes. Now this is the section on, he's summarizing the three fields.
The same relation to each other, like the hot air balloon, the soul, which strives upwards, a basket, physical body, which pulls down the soul, and slings, psyche, connecting the balloon with a basket, or this.
Okay, stop it there. The psyche, the subtle body, connects us with the gross. But the soul is trying to go up, but the body can pull us down. That's that analogy. Next.
The body. Another example shows how the body is a machine. The soul.
The body's a machine.
A passenger. It remains to find out who's the driver.
Well, who's the driver of the body?
Obviously, this is not the soul.
So now we enter the section, well, there has to be a higher consciousness. Something that's higher, beyond us.
Science is only now beginning to understand how complex the processes of perception, digestion, metabolism, and other such processes are. But these super complex processes are constantly taking place in the body.
Okay, now stop it. He's saying here, things are going on without our conscious participation. We're digesting food. We're perceiving. Everything's going on. Are we consciously participating in that? Who's doing it? Who's doing that? When you eat something, are you consciously digesting it? You don't even know how it's going on. There's a higher consciousness here. This is evidence. This is a very, you have to watch these things, and I'm sorry the sound is so poor, but it's brilliant. Okay, next.
How then can such a complex mechanism work without anyone's conscious control? To understand this puzzle, we'll introduce an additional function, superconsciousness.
A superconsciousness.
Which is connected to the individual soul and controls the activity of the body. This superconsciousness, or the supreme soul, is the driver of the body.
So the driver of the body is who? Super soul. We're passengers, that's it.
Just as in the body, returning to the illustration of the three bodies, we must ask, what keeps the eternal soul within the temporary body? What is the force that puts us in different situations that we cannot avoid?
Now we want to stop this here. What is the karma that we face? That is determined also by super soul according to our activities. Okay, go ahead. You'll see a restaurant and you'll see something happening.
The force of destiny.
Super souls deciding this. Our karma.
With the physical and subtle body on one side and the soul on the other side, there is a shining personality which is connecting the soul and the body. The Vedas call it the super consciousness or super souls. Paramatma in Sanskrit. It is due to the presence of super consciousness in the body that such complex processes as metabolism, digestion, and perception are taking place.
We'll stop that there, okay, because it's there. Okay, there's a few more minutes, but this is sufficient because there has to be evidence. If you're preaching, this is a good preaching film. When you're preaching to non-believers, you have to give them some practical evidence because they won't believe Scripture. So they have to understand, wait a minute, how are these metabolism, digestion, perception, karma, how are these things taking place without our active participation? We've gone way over time. It's hot. You've been very tolerant. I thank you so much for performing this sacrifice. Yeah, if you want to receive these materials, you just send me at this email address that request, and then we give you these slides. We've now finished chapter 13. We we go back quite a few chapters, and daily you get daily chapters and slides. And there's prasadam for you as you go. There's one Mataji here who will give you some maha prasadam. And again, this is quite an austerity in this hot weather to sit for an hour and a half. Usually 40 minutes is considered a reasonable time span, so we're stretching it. But we have only 2 days to cover a lot of material. I hope it hasn't been what we call content overload. Thank you so much for coming. Please leave this, the exam boards and the pens. We use these again and again. And again, thank you so much for participating in glorifying Chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.